Welcome to Simply Scottish, a podcast of all things Scottish, with music, features, interviews, and more, on the web at www.simplyscottish.com.
Welcome to Simply Scottish, the 30-minute show of Scottish culture, history, and music. I'm Andrew McDermott. Glad you could join me today. Our opening music is Salsa Celtica, a potent mix of Afro-Latin salsa and Scottish and Irish traditional music. You'll hear more from their brand new album in a few minutes. This is the 50th episode of Simply Scottish as a podcast. The show was originally a weekly radio programme co-hosted with my father that aired on various stations in North America from 1999 to 2001. After a 10-year break to finish school and start a family, I relaunched Simply Scottish in 2011. On this episode, I'm sharing my favourite Scottish destinations. Catch up on our last 49 episodes by subscribing to the show on iTunes. It's also syndicated 6 days a week on the Celtic Radio Network, available at CelticRadio.net and on the Live 365 online radio platform. And for a detailed episode guide, complete with song playlists, visit our website, www.simplyscottish.com. Finally, I enjoy keeping in touch with listeners between episodes on Facebook and Twitter. And yes, I'm even on Pinterest. So many networks, so little time, eh? Bottom line, do keep in touch. You can even send me an old-fashioned email at andrew@simplyscottish.com. Simply Scottish is sponsored in part by Scottish Memories magazine, Scotland's premier nostalgia magazine. In each issue, you'll find in-depth feature articles, reader recollections, travel info, and more. Subscribe to the magazine in physical or digital format at www.celebrate-scotland.co.uk. That's www.celebrate-scotland.co.uk. Starting with music, this is more of the brand new sounds from Salsa Celtica. From their latest album, The Tall Islands, here's a twist on a Scottish Gaelic walking song from Lewis in the Western Isles. Walking songs came from the old tradition where groups of women would sing call and response songs to accompany the work of softening newly woven tweed cloth. This is Hey Mandu.
Hey Mandu, strudna chike, hey Mandu, shut can hiri, hey Mandu, kile sliche, hiri aro, erches chielda, hey Mandu, hiri aro, horo huo, hey Mandu, smishe gala, hey Mandu, nola sale, hey Mandu, lemo lanan, hiri aro, schavik tabla, hey Mandu, hiri aro, horo huo.
Hey, Mandu, nam bigakam, hey, Mandu, skia uvan.
mandu shit kan hiri hey mandu kiles lichet hiri haro erches chelat hey mandu hiri haro horo hey mandu smishigala hey mandu nolasale hey mandu lemolanan hiri haro haviktalan hey mandu hiri haro horo.
When my family immigrated to the United States in 1990, we settled in South Texas. We spent 11 years there, soaking up the sunshine and trying to live with the mosquitoes. Bordered by the Rio Grande and Mexico, this was cowboy country with lots of palm trees, Tejano music, and southern flair. And yet, even here, Scottish heritage was evident. We lived in Cameron County, named after Ewan Cameron, who travelled from Scotland to Texas during the Texas Revolution and is remembered for his service to the region. I attended my first 3 years of college at a branch of the University of Texas, located in the town of Edinburgh, named after Scotland's capital city. My family was part of a Scottish society of South Texas, and my father and I often received compliments from locals as we played Scottish traditional music that featured the violin and the accordion, two instruments that also feature heavily in Mexican music. For 3 years, my father and I hosted a weekly hour-long radio program on a local NPR affiliate in South Texas. People enjoyed the mix of culture, history, recollections, and music. Eventually, the show spread to stations in Tennessee, West Virginia, South Carolina, and Ontario, Canada. When we decided to move to Seattle, Washington in 2001, we put the show on hold. For years I wanted to start it up again, but the right time didn't come until 2011, when I officially restarted the show as a podcast, making it easy for people to tune in from all over the world. It has been a great experience. Doing the show in a digital era means chatting with artists over Twitter and getting their music digitally, utilizing the iTunes store to reach a new audience, and hearing from listeners tuning in from around the world, from Brazil to Tanzania, from Michigan to Germany. To help celebrate 50 episodes, I thought I'd share a few voice messages I recently received from listeners who enjoy the show. First up is Esden Jumane, listening in Tanzania.
My name is Esden Jumane, but mostly known as The Rocker, so you better say Esden The Rocker. It's actually really, really been a pleasure, you know, reading from you this night. And Simple Scottish is just one of the programs that I really like online up to now. And actually, I have to let most of my friends listen to that show, man. They ain't going to be happy, right? Thank you.
In my neck of the woods, Seattle, Washington, listener Stacey Solemsley is editor of the quarterly newsletter of the Clanmacinnen Society and lover of all things Scottish. She had this to say about the show.
Hi, my name is Stacey Solemsley, and I listen to Simply Scottish in Seattle, Washington. My favorite thing about Simply Scottish is learning about new musical artists that I'm not familiar with, along with learning more about Scotland's rich history.
Speaking of clans, Jonathan Ross, an active member of Clan Ross America, sent this message.
I appreciate Andrew's dedication to Scottish subject matter. I've always actually enjoyed listening to the show. Keep up the good work, and hopefully we'll be around for 50 new episodes.
My sister Naruma enjoys listening to the show as well. She sat down with her 4-year-old daughter Judah to say hello.
My name is Naruma. I live in Marysville, Washington, and I am the sister of Andrew McDermott, who hosts the show. My favorite episode is the couple episodes that Andrew did about Sir Thomas Lipton, and Andrew does a wonderful job. Okay, thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
My name is Judah, and I live in Washington. My uncle's Andrew. My favorite part is the show when my nanny is making Simply Scottish shortbread. Thanks for listening. That's all. Enjoy the show. Simply Scottish Radio.
Then there's Kelly Unger in Bellevue, Washington. Not only do I have the privilege of working with her at the Discovery Institute, she also enjoys the show.
Hello, I'm Kelly Unger from Bellevue, Washington, and I've been a listener of Simply Scottish podcasts almost since their inception. I keep tuning in because the shows are so entertaining and educational. I love learning about Scotland and how influential this tiny country has been. Plus, listening to Andrew helps me practice my Scottish accent. You never know when that might come in handy. Thanks, Andrew, for your bright spot in my week.
And finally, tuning in from Nova Scotia in Canada, Anthony Steers has been a fan of Simply Scottish basically since it got going as a podcast. Here are Anthony's kind words.
Hello, Andrew. It's Anthony Steers from Hodges Cove, Newfoundland. I just wanted to pop in and take the opportunity to congratulate you on your upcoming 50th episode of Simply Scottish. I first discovered Simply Scottish by searching around on Facebook, and I'm very glad that I did happen across it because I've enjoyed every episode that you put out. So I'm definitely looking forward to the 50th. My wife and I, whenever we can, we try to listen to it at home, but from time to time we'll sneak one in at work, but we'll keep that to ourselves. If I had to pick my favorite part of Simply Scottish, I guess it would be the musical content. I enjoy finding out about new artists and their works, and then researching it further afterwards. The varied content that you have in each of the episodes is really interesting, and as someone who hopes to eventually make it to Scotland someday, I believe that just allows a little bit of a glimpse into what we can expect when we get there. I have family connections from Scotland, and I think that's on the bucket list. We need to get there before we're old, bottom line. Anyway, really appreciate the effort you put into the episodes, Andrew, and best wishes and congratulations. Cheers.
The best part about doing Simply Scottish is being able to interact with fellow Scotland lovers. So I want to take a moment to thank you, my listener, without whom I'd just be talking to myself, and that's not really productive. Thank you for listening today. And if we haven't talked yet, I look forward to being in touch. With that, here's to another 50 episodes of Simply Scottish, where our mission is to build an educated, passionate community of Scotland lovers around the world that is dedicated to promoting Scotland's interests and living out the Scottish qualities of friendship, perseverance, and industry. In a few minutes, I'll share my favourite Scottish destinations. First, here's music from Old Blind Dogs. This is called The Sleeping Warrior. Thank you. You're listening to Simply Scottish. Although my family moved to the US when I was 11, I still have a lot of great memories growing up as a child in Scotland. People often ask me what my favourite places are, so I recently sat down and made a list. These places are personal favourites, so you won't find this list in any guidebook. Taken together, they combine history, natural beauty, and adventure, and highlight what I consider to be some of the best Scotland has to offer. I've arranged them as a travel itinerary, from the Borders to the Highlands and back to the capital city. We start this journey in Yarrow Ford, a small village in the Scottish Borders, a few miles from the town of Selkirk. The Yarrow Water, a tributary of the Ettrick Water and the Tweed, flows through the village and provides excellent trout and salmon fishing. Yarrow Ford is in the Ettrick Forest, an ancient royal woodland that is much smaller today than it used to be due to sheep farming and industrial forestry. This peaceful region in the Borders was home to poet James Hogg, known as the Ettrick Shepherd. Largely self-taught, Hogg is well known for his verse and was a friend to another son of the Borders, Sir Walter Scott. Yarrow Ford is also the place my parents chose for their honeymoon. After a memorable wedding at St. Giles Cathedral, the High Kirk of Edinburgh, my father whisked his new bride away in his taxi, leaving the hustle and bustle of the capital for the tranquility of the Borders. Their first days as a married couple were spent taking walks along country roads and through the woods. Their nearest neighbours were sheep. What a lovely place to start a life together. Nearby, the royal borough of Selkirk provides visitors with a dose of history and culture. It was here that Scotland's freedom fighter William Wallace was proclaimed Guardian of Scotland. And every year in June, you can catch the Selkirk Common Riding, one of the largest cavalcades of horses and riders in Europe. 300 to 400 riders gather to commemorate the fallen at the Battle of Flodden. That's all in and around Yarrow Ford. Another favourite destination of mine is not too far off. The ruins of Dryburgh Abbey can be found in wooded seclusion beside the River Tweed. Founded in 1150 by the pre-Monstratensian order, the abbey buildings have been destroyed by fire 3 times and ravaged by war on 4 occasions, and yet the peace and tranquility remain. Dryburgh Abbey boasts some of the best Gothic church architecture in Scotland. Its chapter house features original plaster and paintwork. Among those buried at the abbey are famed Scottish novelist and native of the border, Sir Walter Scott, and World War I Field Marshal Douglas Haig. There are other fine examples of abbey ruins in the Borders, including Melrose, Jedburgh, and Kelso, but Dryburgh Abbey stands out in my mind for its magnificent architecture and pervading sense of peace. From Dryburgh, we head north to the coastal town of Dunbar, on Scotland's southeast coast. This former royal borough is less than an hour's drive from both Edinburgh and the English border at Berwick-upon-Tweed. I have fond memories as a child of visits to the port of Dunbar, be it sitting with fish and chip suppers and watching the boats come in, or playing among the ruins of an ancient stronghold, Dunbar Castle. I wasn't the only young Scotsman to enjoy Dunbar before immigrating to America. Naturalist, author, and conservation pioneer John Muir was born here in 1838. In his autobiography, Muir describes his boyhood pursuits in Dunbar, which included reenacting battles from the Wars of Scottish Independence and hunting for birds' nests. His restless spirit and love for nature followed him to America, where his family immigrated in 1849. There, he's well known for his efforts to preserve America's wilderness, and millions have read his letters, essays, and books recounting experiences and adventures in nature. Muir's birthplace in Dunbar is now a family-friendly interpretive centre, exploring his work and his achievements. Other highlights of Dunbar include historic buildings, caravan parks, golf courses, and the John Muir Country Park, located on a beautiful stretch of coastline. Coming up, two of my favourite destinations in Scotland's capital city. First, here's Deacon Blue with Twist and Shout.
Thank you.
This is Simply Scottish. Find an episode guide and a playlist of songs you hear on the show on our website, simplyscottish.com. From Scotland's borders and the seaside town of Dunbar, we move into Edinburgh for my next two favourite destinations. One of the main thoroughfares of Edinburgh's old town is the Royal Mile, a cobblestone street that runs from Edinburgh Castle to Holyrood Palace. In addition to these key landmarks, the Royal Mile is home to a number of other notable places, including legal buildings like the High Court and Court of Session, the Edinburgh City Chambers, the Heart of Midlothian, John Knox's House, Carruthers Christian Centre, the Scottish Storytelling Centre, and the striking Scottish Parliament Building. In the middle of all this history and culture stands the High Kirk of Edinburgh, St Giles Cathedral. With its famed crown spire, St Giles is the historic city church of the capital city. It's the mother church of Presbyterianism, and it's home to the chapel of the Order of the Thistle, Scotland's chivalric company of knights headed by the Queen. The church was founded in the 1120s by the Scottish royal family, named in honour of the patron saint of the town, St Giles. One of its most famous ministers was John Knox, who led the church from 1559 to 1572. Knox is considered the leader of the Protestant Reformation in Scotland and was instrumental in establishing the styles of worship and administration that were to be accepted throughout the country. The church has been involved in a number of key events and periods in Scottish history, not the least of which, to me, is a wedding held there on October 16, 1977. On that day, a crowd of Sunday worshippers, family and friends, gathered to watch my mother and father marry on one of the first Sunday weddings held at St Giles Cathedral in many years. The ceremony was conducted by the Reverend Gillespie MacMillan, who served as a minister of St Giles from 1973 until his recent retirement in 2013. On a trip back to Scotland in 2010, my wife and I visited the Reverend MacMillan at St Giles. In addition to praying a blessing over our family, he recalled my mother's persistence in organising the wedding, and was able to pull down the church record book and point to the records of both my and my sister's births and christenings. So given the significance of the church in national history, and my own personal history, it's no surprise that St Giles would rank as one of my favourite destinations in Scotland. Not far from St Giles Cathedral, you'll find another of my favourite destinations, Princes Street Gardens. Set in a valley between Edinburgh's old and new towns, and below the volcanic rock foundation of Edinburgh Castle, Princes Street Gardens is a must-visit location in Edinburgh, and serves as the jumping-off point to a number of Scottish adventures. Given its location, Princes Street Gardens is probably the best-known public park in Edinburgh. It was actually formed when a freshwater loch, the Nore Loch, was drained in the early 19th century. The gardens run along the south side of Princes Street, the busiest shopping centre in the city. The east and west portions of the park are separated by the Mound. This street connects Princes Street to the Royal Mile and is home to the National Gallery of Scotland, the Royal Scottish Academy, the General Assembly Hall of the Church of Scotland, and the headquarters of the Bank of Scotland. Princes Street Gardens is home to the Scott Monument, a Gothic spire built in 1844 to honour Sir Walter Scott. The highest platform in the monument is 287 steps up, and if you make the trip, you'll get a certificate and some lovely views for your trouble. You'll also find statues of David Livingstone, Alan Ramsay, Thomas Guthrie, and James Young Simpson. The park features war memorials and the world's first floral clock at the eastern entrance. Railway lines run along the southern edge of the gardens and lead to Waverley Station, where trains connecting Edinburgh with all parts of Scotland and the UK come and go. The Ross Bandstand is home to a number of concerts and events during the year, including festivities at Edinburgh's well-known Hogmanay celebration. For me and so many others, Princes Street Gardens is a place to relax in peaceful and beautiful surroundings. It's a great place to rendezvous before you begin a train trip, take a break from shopping and sightseeing, or just take in some sunshine and beautiful views of the castle during your day. Locals and visitors alike enjoy this lovely park in the heart of Scotland's capital city. I'll continue my journey through Scotland on another episode with five more of my favourite Scottish destinations. From the borders and the capital, we'll head north to Stirling, St Andrews, Aviemore, the Isle of Skye, and I'll take you to the northernmost point of mainland Scotland and gateway to the Orkney Islands, the wee village of John o' Groats. That's all in part two of my 10 favourite Scottish destinations on Simply Scottish. That's it for our 50th episode. If you like the music you heard today, why not try to win some? Winners of our monthly music giveaway choose an album of their choice from a catalogue of over 4,000, courtesy of MusicScotland.com. Enter online at simplyscottish.com, or get our updates on Facebook and we'll remind you each month, facebook.com/simplyscottish. We'll conclude with music from Scottish Gaelic singer Julie Fowlis. You might recognise her voice from songs featured in the Disney Pixar film Brave. From her new album Every Story, this is Love Led Me Home to My Mother. I'm Andrew McDermott. Join me again next time for another exploration of all things Scottish.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content, copyright, Simply Scottish Media. All music is used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience at simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening. Ach, Mara, ich mach jetzt bereit,
teach me, Yachimat.